as they need to. Let's turn over to John 14 and just lay our eyes on that. That's kind of been our text. John 14, verse 1, and then we'll move on from there. We will recap a little bit. You know, because of the snow and the weather these last few weeks, I know different ones couldn't make it at different times, and so we'll recap a little bit of that, and then we'll go on. John 14, verse 1. John 14, verse 1. Everybody there? It says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." And we've been focusing on that first verse. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Let not your heart be troubled. You know, my Bible, these words are in red. That means that Jesus spoke them. The Master spoke them. And if he said, "Let not your heart be troubled," he means that we can let our heart not be troubled. And it's really, it's a command not to let our heart be troubled. And he does that for a reason. You know, some people get the idea with God's, the way he sets stuff up. You know, somebody that's trying to find fault with God or Christianity, well, you know, why we have all these rules and regulations? Well, number one, you don't really have all these rules and regulations. The New Testament commandment is one, that's to love your neighbor as yourself, to love God and to love your neighbor. But the things that he does set up, the things that he tells us to do, are for our own benefit. It's not like he is telling us to do something to take our joy or fun away. That's nonsense. If we'll follow God fully, we'll have the best life possible. All the time. We'll enjoy life. And we can do what he said we can do. Amen? Do you believe that? If he said we could do it, we can do it. We have the ability to do it. Somebody said, "I can't do it." Well, as long as we take sides against God, we won't have what he says that we can have. If he says you can do it, and we say, "No, I can't," it's not going to work for us. If we say, "But you just don't know, I just can't. This is too big of a thing. I can't stop worrying about it. I just, it's too overwhelming." Well, we're confessing that what God said is wrong, that he's a liar, and that we know more than he does. And we wouldn't say it like that, but that is exactly what's going on. And as long as we have that position and things won't work for us and things will wonder, you know, I want to believe, but I just can't. You can trace it right to there. We say we can't do it. We won't believe him. Now, it doesn't matter what Jesus has purchased for us. If you can see this clearly in salvation. Jesus has paved the way, paid the price for everybody to be saved, right? He paid the penalty for all mankind's sins. But if somebody says, "I don't believe that. I don't believe the Bible. I don't believe that's true." Are they going to be saved? No, they won't. Did Jesus pay for it? Yes. Did Jesus do it? Yes. Will they receive the benefits? No. Why? Because they decided, "I'm not going to believe that." Yeah. And this is the way it is with every other thing that God's purchased for us. Yes, Jesus purchased and paid the complete price, but if we disagree with him and say, "But I can't," God is not going to override us and say, "Yes, you can, and you're going to have it anyway." And there's a lot of people thinking that's the case. We can slide so far over here to where we think Jesus has done everything. And don't get me wrong, but they start saying Jesus has done everything, and they slip a little past that and says, "So everything will just automatically happen." That's not true. People go so far as to say, "Well, God loves so everybody so much that he would never send anybody to hell and nobody has to receive him," and they're off the cliff. What are they saying? They basically said, "God, the Bible's not true, because, yeah, the Bible says that he wills that none should perish. But there will be people that do perish." That's right. Right?
Yeah.
Well, in our daily life, if we come to this attitude that God has done everything, so all I have to do is just walk and I'm going to enjoy all the blessings of God automatically. You can look around and you can tell from your own life that's not the truth. Right? That means everybody that got born again would have exactly the same results. Otherwise, God's unjust, right? Otherwise, he's playing favorites. Is this true? He'd be playing favorites, and he would be unjust if he gave you a free will but then stepped into your life even though you're not agreeing with him, you're not looking to him, and he says, well, I'm going to make it happen for them anyway. Do you see this? You see it? He will not override your will. He's made us free moral agents. And if we say, I can't do it, God's hands are tied. Now that doesn't, God is a merciful and good and great God. And he has made the way for us to enjoy all the benefits, and he has not put a heavy yoke on us at all. We cannot confuse. See, some people will take this and they'll start saying, well, you're trying to require something of me. You're preaching law. No, we're not. Law would be saying you're going to earn the blessings of God. If you do something, you will make it possible and earn and make those possible and bring them on the set. That's a different thing. That's like if I do all these hoops, jump through and do all these things, then God will move. No, God has already moved, and he's sitting there with his hand out, and if you say, I'm not going to take it, he's not going to put it in your face and make you take it. There's a difference. If he's saying, I've purchased it, I've bought it, now just trust me, and if I said you could do something, just say, yes, sir, I can do it. Man, I don't feel like it. I don't know how, but Lord, you're my Lord, and I'm going to, here, I believe you. Amen. Do you see the difference? Yep. But as long as we sit and we go, I don't know why this isn't working for me and what's going on, and I thought Jesus did everything, and where are you, God? What have we done? We've stepped over to where basically we're... See, this will lead. This will inevitably, you'll lead down this path if we think everything automatically happens because of what Jesus did. Then if something's not happening, whose fault is it? You're going to say, it's God's fault. Because I couldn't have anything to do with it. And we know that's not true, right? It's not God's problem. Now, I'm not saying, gosh, everything is just on us. No, there's a line here where God has done it. But if we're going to receive it, just like salvation, God's done it. But if you told this to somebody, Jesus has paid your sins, and they say, I don't believe it. Oh, well, he'll do it anyway. He'll do it for you anyway. You just go on, believe. You just walk down, you'll get saved anyway. Would anybody say that? Now, that's blasphemy. I mean, you're just trampling on the blood of Jesus. But we will turn around and do the same thing when we're Christians. If you go too far and start saying, well, it's all Jesus has just taken care of everything, which he has, true, and it will just come on me regardless of what I do, not true. It's a half-truth. There is a God side and there is a man side. Now, you can twist this the other way where people start preaching where, and your side is huge, and you have to do all this, and if you don't do this, A, B, and C, and they'll make methods. See, now that's going over here. Brother Hagin will always say, the hardest thing in the world for the church and for people is just to stay in the middle of the road. They either want to go in one ditch, so people go, they're in this ditch where everything is you. It's your performance. You better do this and this. If you don't dot all your I's, cross your T's, God's not going to move for you, and you better fast, and you better pray, and you better get to work, and if you don't do it the way I'm preaching it, God's not going to do anything for you. That's over here. People get out of that, and so what do? They run right across the road, and the people that have been over here are very susceptible to running all the way across the road, all the way into this other ditch and saying, no responsibility whatsoever. God has done it all. Hallelujah. And they cruise right on down the road and things aren't working for them. Nothing's happening. And they blame God. They start getting bitter and they think, why? It's not my fault. I'm doing everything and I just don't know why it's not working. And I just don't know why it's not working. And why, if Jesus, if you've done it all, why isn't this changing? Because you're in this ditch. You think God's just going to come in and do everything. No, the middle of the road is God has done it all. He has paid for it all. We need to receive it, and we need to act like what he said is true and do our part and receive it. Yeah. And just say, agree with him. That's our part, believing. Say, God, you said it. I believe it. That settles it. I don't care what it looks like. I'm going to trust you. That's our part. But if we get a hold of that and we start trusting and acting like what he said is true, then when something comes, instead of saying, oh, Lord, I don't know how this is going to happen, and just worry until our hair's falling out and we're, you know, our heart's messed up and everything, we say, well, he said not to worry. Just like he said, don't commit adultery. Just like he said, don't murder. Do you know worry's a sin? We don't like to hear that, but you know it's the church world has kind of sanctified this sin. Put it aside, and you know, you better not smoke, you better not chew, you better not go with those that do, you know, you better not go in bars, and you know, don't murder, don't watch bad movies, but worry. Hey, you know, most of the church is worrying, so we can't talk about that. If we talk about that, we just eliminated most of the church world. So that's okay. It's not okay. Did you read your Bible here? What did he say? Let not your heart be troubled. Over in Matthew, 6:34, he says, do not worry. Does that sound like a command or is that a suggestion? It's a command. It's a sin. We're not being hard. This is the truth. You want the truth, right? We prayed and believe God's going to give us what we need, right? It is a sin when God has told you everything's going to be okay and you say, yeah, but I think I'm going to worry. We're actually missing it and we're sinning. Yeah. And it will hurt our bodies. And I don't think you have to stretch too far to say that most of the sickness that we have in the world today is because of stress. Doctors will say this, not Christians. So much of it is because we do it to ourselves out of worry. We're so uptight that it causes ulcers, it causes heart problems, causes mental breakdowns, people are depressed and everything. It's because of stress. It's because not doing what he just said. Don't worry. Amen. Amen. But, if God said we could do it, we can do it, and it doesn't have to be hard. In fact, this is some of the best news you'll ever hear. Right here. Some of the best news. Some of these things we're going to go over. Some of the best. We don't have to worry. We have a license not to worry. Some people need that. Because there's things going on in our lives, and we feel like we are being irresponsible if we don't worry. In fact, if your heart's not troubled, you have a screw loose. Because any sensible person, some people would look at you and go, he doesn't really know what's going on, does he? Look at him. He's gone off. Does he realize what's going on in his life? Because look, he doesn't look like that. They think you're being immature, irresponsible, or you're just lost half your mind, right? Is that true? If you don't act a certain way, and if you don't act a certain amount of stressed out about something, then you are irresponsible. You wouldn't say it like that, but that's what we think, right? God told us not to do it. So if we need a license, and I know there's some people in here that need licenses not to worry about stuff, here's your license. It's a command from God not to do it. So when we're tempted to go down and start worrying, we can say, nope, I'm not going to be caught with any of that stuff on me. It is spiritual contraband. You don't want to be caught going down the highway patrol, you know, with some pot in your back seat or something, right? Well, I have to rephrase that. We just passed some laws and stuff. Maybe I have to pick a different drug. We'll say cocaine or something like that. Or, you know, you don't want to be caught with any stolen money. That is contraband. Well, worry, you don't want to be caught with any of that on you. God told us, he gave us a commandment, don't do it. So we can say, that stuff tries to come on, say, no, I'm not doing that. I have a license to be free. Now let's read a few more scriptures before we go too far. Hallelujah. Let's turn over to 1 Peter 5. Yep, I don't think we're done here. I think we're here today at least. I think we need this. Thank God. Because this has been entrenched in the church world for a long time. People, world champion worriers. And if your, you know, parents were like that or their parents, you got some of it. You had it modeled for you. Oh, yeah. And unless you cast it off and get rid of it, it's going to influence your life. Thank you, Lord. 1 Peter 5, verse 6. Everybody has a scripture sheet, right? Anybody not have one? So we're going to go there. 1 Peter 5, verse 6 says, "Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you." Now, we spent the last 2 weeks on this verse. 2 weeks ago, and if you didn't listen to him, I encourage you to go back because we're not going to cover everything, and we really focused on a few of these things. 2 weeks ago, we were focusing on the fact, it says, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. That second part we focused on, the part that he cares for you. If we'll get it just so ground into our hearts that my God cares for me, that he loves me, that will do away with a lot of worry, because you'll be tempted to worry, but you say, God's got my back in this, and all his power and ability is right there. Why would I worry? It doesn't even make sense. And we focused on that and talked about that. And that's one thing. So many times we're trying to get rid of the worry, but we're not focused. We don't know God loves us. And so if we're not really convinced, and I don't mean that you can quote some scriptures, and I don't mean that, you know, yeah, I've heard a teaching, or I've heard lots of teaching, or I have scriptures. I'm saying you know what you know by how you react. If something happens to you and you're wondering if God's going to come through, you may say you know it, you may say you've heard it, but your actions just showed up that you don't really believe he'll take care of you. Yeah. That I really don't believe it, because if I believed it, I'd say, yeah, he's got it, and he's God. He's got my back. He cares for me, and he'll come through. And so we spent some time on that. And then last week, we started talking about we've been talking about let your heart not be troubled for a while, but we are focusing specifically on this verse. The first part of verse 7 says, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. He cares for us, but we still have to do something with that worry when it comes down on us, because it will. What's our part? To get rid of it, to cast it off. And so if Jesus has done it, and he loves us, and he's taking care of us, but when it comes down, we don't do something with it, we don't agree with him, then it's going to stick to us. That's our part. Cast it off. Get rid of it. Throw it on him. He didn't say, take care of the problem yourself and you do it. He didn't say that. He said, cast the worry off onto him. His shoulders are big enough to handle it. Let's read this on your scripture sheet in some other translations. We went over some of this last week. But we're just going to go a little bit further here. 1 Peter 5, 7, NIV says, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. All your anxiety. 1 Peter 5, verse 7, New Century Version says, give all your worries to him. You got that picture? Give them to him. You don't want that. Worry, that's not supposed to be in my hands. It's supposed to be in his hands. Living Bible. Let him have all your worries and cares. Let him have it. Don't hold on to it. Let him. Let him have it. No, no, I want it. No, let him have it. We laugh, but that's what we do so many times. Do you know there is sort of a high and sort of a physical, you know, something that goes with being depressed for a little bit? Think about it. We all know that. There is. Why? Because why do people do it? There is something about it. Something happens and you go, oh man, you could lose. I don't know why this has happened. I don't know what we're going to do. And you let all this stuff, there is some kind of charge and emotional release right there. But you give into that and give into that and give into that and give into that. Pretty soon, that's your path. When something happens, you go down this path. Your first reaction is, I don't know what we're going to do. How are we going to do this? And you go into this and you can be like that until you calm down. And then 3 hours later, like, okay, I should give this over to God. But what have you done? You've let all this stuff come out of your mouth, all these things run through your mind, yielded to the enemy this whole time, let stuff that shouldn't be coming out of your mouth come out of your mouth. We've all done it. I'm not saying this if I'm painting your picture, we've all done it. But if we're going down this road, instead of going down that road and saying, okay, well, I know what to do, we want to back up to where when that thing comes at us, we deflect it and it goes right over us and we just keep walking. That is so much better than holding on for it for a while, chewing it, talking about it, you know, going back and forth. If we're married, we go back and forth for a while. We say, what the heck, and I don't know, and why isn't God, and blah, blah, blah. And then, okay, we know what to do, now let's agree. It is so much better that comes, say, no, but God's word says, no, but God's word says. What is that? That's casting it off. It comes, it's just like a shield. It goes right over you. Somebody's, it's coming at you, goes over you. Goes to the side. Deflection. He says, let, what does the Bible say there? Let him have all your worries and cares. Let all, does that leave a lot out in this area? All your worries and cares, let him have it. Here you go, God. I'm not taking it, I'm casting it off. Amplified says, casting the whole. This makes it abundantly clear, in case the last few translations have it. Casting the whole of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all, on him. For he cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully. We spent a lot of time on that part. But he, all of it, once and for all. In other words, we're not supposed to have this attitude that, you know, well, that's just something I do. And, you know, there are days when stuff happens and you're just going to worry. Jesus did not say that. Some preachers will say that, but what's that doing? That's setting us up for failure. If you grab onto that and say, there's just sometimes I got to give in. Well, put that in any other area that God has told us not to do. Well, you know, sometimes I just haul off and I go knock somebody out in Walmart. Just can't help myself.
That's not right.
Any number of things we could use examples. Well, I just can't help myself, you know, sometimes I go 100 miles per hour down the highway, and I don't know, my foot takes over, and there we go. Tell that to the officer and see what he says. Well, buddy, you better control your, you better learn how to do that. But in this area, we can have this attitude that I can't help it. I can't help it. What are we doing? We're defeated before we start it. When that thing comes down, oh, well, it must be one of those days. Bam, 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 bam. We take it. As long as we have the attitude that I can do nothing about it, we will take it when it comes. We have to get the idea that that is something that as a Christian I should have no part of. None. And I can do it because I have the greater one inside of me. I have the Holy Spirit inside of me. And if he said I can do it, man, I don't know how, but I can. And I will by the grace of Almighty God. By his power, I'll do it. And not me, Christ in me. I'll say, God, I'm going to agree with you, man. I'm not going to worry. And you don't have to. We don't have to. We can enjoy it when those things come down and we recognize it. We don't have to say, well, guess it's one of those days. Here we go. Going to be 4 days, five. Yeah, last time it was 8 days before I got out of this. Here we go. It's going to be a long ride. Family, get ready. Because this is not going to be fun. Oh, no. Dad's in one of those moods. Mom's in one of those moods. That's a lie. As long as you buy that lie that you have to do anything, you will do it. Why? Your defense is... Gloria Copeland said this once. I heard her, and I had to think about it when she was saying at that point. She said, you can tell deception, stuff that's off, because the teaching... She was talking about healing. It was in healing school. She was saying, you can tell doctrine that's wrong because it will get you to lower your resistance to the enemy. And she was talking about healing and talking about how certain things have been taught that this is the will of God or that God won't do it all the time. And so what does that do? If you're not thinking it's, if you're thinking something's from God, you're resistant. You can't help it. Your resistance goes down. You're like, what can I do? Well, if we hold on to the teaching that there's just certain things you have to do, and that's just human, that's what happens. Now, I'm not talking perfection, okay? I'm not saying we have to be perfect, because we won't. That's why we have a Savior. What I'm saying is when we go, we shouldn't have the attitude that this is inevitable. And if we slip, we get right back up and turn and say, God, I'm sorry, forgive me. And if we have to do that several times a day, we get up and we say no. But we don't come in with the attitude that there's nothing I can do about it. Those are two different things. We ought to have the attitude, I'm not planning to do this ever again. If I knock somebody out in Walmart, my attitude should be, that's not ever happening again. Not going to happen. Well, we ought to get back to the same thing with where worry and care and everything, to where we're planning on getting up to the day not giving into that one iota. Period. And we can do it. Otherwise, God's unjust. He told us to do something we couldn't do. You know, how many of your parents, if you do something, tell your kids something that they have no, you know, earthly way to do it. You know, you tell your three-year-old to go out and mow the lawn or something, and then you give them a spanking or something because they don't, that would be called abuse. Set the kid up completely for failure. Well, God's not that way. He's a good God. And so if he told us to do something, we can do it. And we need to turn it around till we quit listening to the nonsense that the devil's trying to feed us and say, well, you're so weak, you can't do it. You know, other people can do it, but you can't. That's a lie. Yeah. That would mean God's helping somebody else or they had a better set of circumstances than you. I'm not saying we don't have different circumstances. We do. We can't. You may have got an extra dose in this area, but God's word still applies to us. And as long as we say it was my mommy, it was my daddy, I got too much, and yeah, look, you got out of it, but I have no hope, and you had it easier than me, we'll stay. That's the honest to God truth. As long as we're waiting for God to do something that he gave us to do, is when we'll agree with him and keep agreeing with him and keep agreeing with him, we'll come out. We'll get free of whatever is binding us in this area or any other area. If we'll stand up and say, God's word's true, I don't care. If I feel like it, I don't care what the three generations before me did. I'm different. I'm a Christian. God's in me. This is it. I'm coming out. I'm going forward. And I don't plan on going down that road again. He said, casting the whole of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all on him, for he cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully. Read it in the message. It says, live carefree before God. He is most careful with you. Carefree. We talked about this last week. Carefree. This is our license. God told us to live without care. So no matter what is going on, he gave us a license to not worry about it. Isn't that awesome? That is awesome. This is some of the best news you've ever heard. If worry has dominated you, anxiety, fear has dominated you, if we'll say, God, I'm not supposed to have any of that, God told me not, and he'll free me up. I don't worry. Just start saying that about yourself. I don't worry. I'm carefree. I'm not one of those that takes every care. I'm free. Yeah, that little things don't bother me. Start speaking like that. We need to start talking like God sees us. Yeah, that doesn't bother me. That's no big deal. Start retraining our lips that when something comes and we hear news that we used to say, oh, Lord God, help me, or I don't know how this is going to happen, and what the heck, and what, we say, oh, it'll be all right. God will help us. Retrain. Start coming out, so stuff comes out that, no, God will help us. God, what should we do? This isn't any big deal. We'll take care of this, even though inside you're going, oh, Lord, I don't know what's going to happen. But outside, you just stay, no, God's word's true. We get ourselves by the neck and say, no, it's going to be fine. It's going to be fine. And your mind's screaming, liar, you don't know where this, you know what's going to happen. No, but God, I'm agreeing with God. I don't worry. See, here's my license right here. I don't do it. Card-carrying member. I live carefree. That's my motto, one of them. I am carefree before God. Hallelujah. Thank God. We talked about 2 Corinthians some last week. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. Let's skip over that. Casting down every argument. Let's go over to Ephesians 6, 10. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, let's go to Ephesians, and then we'll go to Hebrews. Ephesians 6:10. God's helping us. Ephesians 6:10. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. You could camp right there. Be strong, my brothers. Be strong in the Lord. Not be strong in your own strength. Not be strong in the teachings you've heard. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Well, if we're strong in the Lord and the power of His might, is there anything that's going to come against us that we can't handle? No. Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles or the schemings of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. Have you ever had one of those days? The evil day. When everything that could go wrong seems like it's going wrong. He says that you would take up the whole armor of God that you would be able to withstand in that day when everything is happening, that we'd be able to withstand. And having done all, to stand. That means you've done everything you know to do. What do we do now? We keep doing it and we stand strong. And we stand strong. And we stand strong. And we believe and be strong in the Lord in the power of His might. He says, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Verse 16, above all taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. You get the picture. Things are being shot at you. What did he say earlier? We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. People are not our problem, ever. They may be manifestations of our problem. They may yield themselves to be worked through, or they just may be, you know, throwing a fit, but they're not a problem. There is a world system. There is an influence of the enemy. We're not saying everybody's demon-possessed. That just means the way people do stuff and operate is not the way God would have them to do it. They're influenced by ungodly ways, ungodly ideas. Then they meet you, and they continue in that. And if they're used to doing whatever their flesh desires, Satan, trying to get at you, can just knock them in one way, knows that he's going to push their button that's going to push your button. This does happen. But we don't have to be afraid of that. Say, oh no, you know, go to work and all this stuff's going to happen because these people are not godly or whatever. No, the greater one's in us. So we say, no, regardless of what's happening, I'm going over and I'm not going to worry about it. People are not my problem. God is on my side. You start looking at people, you're always off if we start looking at people. Start putting pressure on people to do more. I don't know. I got to put pressure on people. You're my problem. You're my problem. And if everybody around me would get their act together, everything would be okay. That should be a red flag that we're off. Because God is our source regardless of what people do. Amen. We need to look to Him. But He said, above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. They come, just like we were saying earlier, something comes at you, the dart hits the shield, is deflected. No, God's still coming through. No, doesn't look like it, but God will make a way. Deflect, deflect. We're not taking them and letting them hit us and say, well, I don't know what we're going to do now. What did you do? Do you see the connection? A temptation came to you, and instead of deflecting it with the Word of God and saying, yes, but God said, I'm still going to live carefree. We said, I don't know what's going to happen now. Our faith was not on Him. We let our shield down, which is our faith in Him, in the Word of God. We let it through. Why did it get through? Because we didn't look at the Word. We looked at the circumstance. You see this? It's coming. We have a choice. We can cast it off. We can deflect it. Or we can choose to say, I don't know what's going to, I don't see how. And boom, it hits us. And then we start letting it through. But we can say, God, forget that. I didn't mean to say that. Forgive me. And get right back up and say, I saw that one get through, but the next one won't. Just get right back up. Don't say, oh, well, I let one through. I'm such an idiot. Why did I do that? I've blown it now. No, that's where the devil wants you. Just say, no, I'm back. You got me there, but you won't get me the next time. No, God's word's going to stand. And you're free. That's where we can live, carefree and on top of it. Just casting it off. Thank you, Lord. Above all, taking the shield of faith, which will be able to, you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Praise God. Let's go over to Hebrews 2. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Glory to God. Hebrews 2, verse 14. Hallelujah. Can you guys take a little more? I'm serious, because if you can't, we might as well stop. But there's a little bit more on my heart that I'd like to get out. If you guys are good, we'll go on a little bit more. All right, then stay hooked up. Hebrews 2:14 says, "Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is, the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." Just notice that the devil will bind you through fear, through anxiety, through worry, your whole lifetime if you let him. Keep you there. You won't do stuff because what if this happens? Well, I think God's telling me to do this, but what if? I feel like I'm supposed to do this, but I don't know. You're immobilized. Bound. We're not supposed to have any of that. Do you see how this hinders us? Yes, it hurts our body, but it will hinder us doing what God told us to do. We'll be bound, imprisoned. If we'll say, but I'm not worried. I'm carefree. I live carefree now. Oh, God, you want me to do that? Okay. Your mind rattles off 15 things of why that couldn't work. But if God told you, he'll take care of it. So my job is just to say, yes, sir, we're going. People come up to you and say, yeah, but have you thought about? I've prayed about it, and this is the direction. I'm not saying go off half-cocked. You believe, you find out if it's God. You go in his direction. You pray till you know the direction you're supposed to go in. But you know it's God, and you can't see how. That's called faith. You go ahead and let him work it out. It's like Shelly was saying earlier in the service, don't wait for the Red Sea to part when you're back here. If God told you to go that way, you start marching and you expect that thing to move when it's time to move. Amen. Our flesh wants to have everything figured out. That it's not going to happen. It will not happen. Faith pleases him. And you can read the whole book. Read this book and then come back and tell me if God just lays it all out in front of you and expects you just to walk by sight. It's not there. Over and over and over, he tells somebody to do something. It looks like insurmountable odds, and they have a choice. Most of the ones that made the right choice are in this book. There's a reason they're in this book. For us to be examples to us and to show us the way. And so if we'll say, God, number one, find out if it's God's will. If it's God's will, you find out whatever, you sit with God till you make sure. I don't say you have to do that 15 hours in a day. If it's over time, just it's settled and you know this is the way I'm supposed to go. Yep, not going away. Your head saying, yeah, but inside, I believe this is God. Okay, once you know it's God, move. Amen. And when you move, don't worry about the fact that you don't know everything, because you will never know everything. And that's when we cast it on him and say, I'm not worrying about that. Somebody says, yeah, but have you thought about this? Now, I tell you, we heard everything when we were going to move out here. And this goes back to, you have to know, people are not your problem. We had people we knew for years at Rhema. And when we told them we were moving out here, I can't tell you the number of people that the first words out of their mouth was like, oh, do you have family out there? Why are you moving out there? And we're going to a place, I'm not disparaging, I'm saying people will walk in the flesh. Brother Hagin taught that we be led by the Spirit of God, not by sight. Yet people come up and ask you, why are you moving there? Well, because we feel like we're supposed to go there, to Massachusetts. Yeah, but what's the, you know, you have family? Do you know somebody? Why Andover? I mean, and people are totally walking carnally. If you let that get to you, the devil will say, you're insane. You're crazy. You're off. And that's when you have to know. And it, I mean, I'm not going to lie to you. I didn't come out of the chute completely. Some of that stuff shook us. Took us a while to get. I mean, we kept marching on. We were saying, yeah, we've seen some of this before. But you get settled after a while to where you know that you know that you know. No, this is where we're going. Don't know how. But we're going forward. And God's been faithful, and He's been faithful, and He's been faithful, and He's been faithful, and He will continue to be faithful. You watch the things He's going to do, not because of us, but because of Him. As long as we all, in our individual lives, corporately follow Him, He'll take care of it. He is a good God. So we'll walk after Him, and just don't try to have it all figured out. We don't want to be in bondage through fear, because Satan knows he can just push your button and you'll shut down. If he knows that he can get you to shut down with a thought, that button will be pushed, and it'll be pushed. He'll say, yeah, this guy thinks he's coming out of the chute. Watch this. Bink. What about this? You ever thought, oh no, we didn't think about this. Oh no. He say, see you later. I'm going down the street. You'll be there for 4 weeks now dealing with that thought. You'll go in circles. It'll keep you up at night. Well, you know, this person will just come say this. Watch this. This will knock them right off their rocker. Immobilize them. They're talking faith, and they came out of church, and they were at, you know, talking real big, but watch this. Boom. Oh, no. And you just completely seize up and don't go anywhere. Yeah. Happens over and over. But if we'll start to watch it and watch this happen, and know that it's going to happen. And when the thing comes, that we say, I have a choice right now. You ever seen these movies? They're very common now. Where something's happening in slow motion. They have 15 cameras that are going high speed. And they can see the bullets going through the air or whatever. You can see it coming at you. And we have a choice. Am I going to change directions and let the thing go by me? Or am I going to say, nothing I could see. Nothing. That's what we do half the time. No, we got to get our head on to where we see it coming and roll with the punches. Hallelujah. If that gets it across to you so you have that picture in your mind while we're out in the world. But this is what happens over and over. When we see the temptation, we can stop it or we can let it hit us. Deflect it with the power of God. Deflect it with the shield. Have I completely lost you now? Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. He is good. Verse 16. Look at this. This will augment what we're talking about. Okay, we'll skip 16. Verse 17. Therefore, in all things he had to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted. So when stuff is coming down, when the thing is coming at you and you're tempted, we talked about this on Wednesday nights several weeks ago, and if you weren't there, I encourage you to get, we talked about being tempted, and we're talking about healing. But if you get a hold of this and realize that when the symptoms are on you, it's not over, that's when it's on. That's when everything just started. When you see the symptoms, the devil wants you to say, it's too late, you have it. What you should be thinking is, the battle's on, I'm not taking that junk. Get off me. He wants you to think it's over. No, the battle just started. That's when the war, because he's fighting you to make you say, I'll take that. Yeah, it's too late. I'll get them next time. I did something wrong. I let the door in. It's here. Too late. I'll do it next time. What'd you do? You just lowered your defenses and he'll steamroll right over you. But if we'll say, I'm being tempted right now, but I'm going to win. And God's word still says this and so forth. Well, it applies here. Jesus said when we're tempted, When you have a thought of worry, doesn't mean you messed up. It means the battle is on. Right now, what am I going to do with it? I had a thought. I don't know what I'm going to do in this situation. You have a choice right there. Let it come through or saying, but God, knock it off. But God, knock it off. And what does the Bible say? It says that He will help those. For in that He Himself has suffered being tempted. He knows what we're going through. He's not stupid. He's not oblivious. He's not naive. He knows. And He said, He was tempted. He's able to aid those who are tempted. Amen? He's able to help us. If we'll agree with Him and say, God, I don't feel like it, but You said that You'd help me. You said I'm not supposed to worry. God, I'm just glorifying You. I'm still going to speak Your word in this situation. You just overcame the temptation. And we do that enough, and we do that enough. We make that our habit to where things come off and they just roll off us. They hit us, and people say, how in the world can you be that calm in this situation? I have a license. I'm supposed to be carefree. That's my job description. I'm not supposed to worry, ever. You say, that's just too tall. No, that's what we ought to be shooting for, ever. Never worrying again. You mess up, you get right back up. Okay, missed that one, but I'm never worrying again from this point forward. Just keep getting up. By the Spirit of the living God. Not by your moral muscle, not by your strength saying, well, I don't worry, you know, because of what? No, you could tell people, this is the way I used to be. But by God's strength, I just took Him at His word. It doesn't bother me anymore. You talk on Him and glorify Him. Amen. Thank You, Lord.